I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Wow. We made it to chapter 20, verse 13, last time, last week.
Chapter what?
Chapter 20, verse 13. And this is right after the man fell out of that three-story window when Paul was preaching. And Paul laid hands on him and brought him back to life. When I read things like that, I want to be ready for whatever I need to do. Because you never know what you're going to need to do in Christ. And I pray about, you know, whatever the Lord needs me to do, I want to be able to get it done. In verse 13, it says, "And we went before to ship and sailed to Assos, and intended to stay to take Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Melene, and we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chilos, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, "Ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptation, which fell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." So he was always challenged. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Whereof I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the counsel of God. Paul was determined. When you're determined to do something, especially something that God wants you to do, the outer things don't have to move you when you have that inner joy. And we know that Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and he was going to go to Jerusalem. And I believe he didn't have the anointing for the Jews, because God, he anointed him for a purpose. Whatever he anoints you for, that's where you're going to be strong. That's where you have God's ability to perform that task. If he was to minister in Jerusalem, he'd be doing it by his faith. The anointing wasn't sent. He wasn't anointed for that. But what he was doing wasn't wrong. I mean, he wasn't going to do evil. He was going to do God's work. And he was determined to go. So, and like Brother Horton pointed out, some good came out of it. But he did go to jail. But he was fearless. And when you have perfect love, you have, you know, it does away with your fear. Fear is just cast out. And you can finish your course. And I like the way he included the joy of the Lord about it. On the radio, I had this some thoughts the Lord had. I wrote them down and I shared them, because to finish something that God gives you to do, there are some things that has to be in place. And I like the way the Lord makes things simple. He gave me seven little points to help finish the vision of the Lord. He said, to finish the vision of the Lord, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. You got to believe in what you're doing. If you don't believe in what you're doing, you're not going to continue with it. And something's going to talk you out of it. I would always dig in deeper when the Lord would show me a vision or show me things. That's the way that ministry could help others. That made me motivated. To finish the vision of the Lord, love God more than the vision. And that to me was a secret. You have to love him more than the work that you're doing, because you're going to have to stay focused on him.
Yes,
that's good. The work can alter your emotions. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have a right to be emotional about what you're doing. You can't see the whole thing. You know, you're looking at it from one point of view, but the Lord looking at, you have to look at him who's looking at everything. So you have to love him more than the vision. And then the third one is trust the Lord completely throughout the process. And then the fourth one, he said, hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. With that, the Holy Spirit is in you, speaking to you. He'll give you parts that you need to know, and he'll confirm it through others. And I found this to be true, that people can speak under the anointing and confirm what the Lord is saying. But in an everyday conversation, when they're not operating under their anointing, they can tell you not to do it. The same person. And the Lord showed me how to distinguish. I had a pastor one time, and the Lord gave me a dream. This was before the church split. He said, and in the dream, he was showing me, listen to him when I'm using him. When he's not under the anointing, don't listen to him. I didn't know what he was struggling with, but that's what the Lord gave me. And I use that wisdom. When people are under the anointing, they don't have all the facts if you didn't tell them. The Lord told you, and it's best not to go around telling people what you're going to do or what God, the vision that God gave you, unless the Lord leads you to. Because they're under the anointing. See, the anointing has God's vision in it. Mm-hmm. People don't always have. Their vision is more limited. Under the anointing, you have God's vision. It's without limit. Okay. So when God tells you to do something, is possible if you trust him.
Amen.
But others, they may not be able to see you doing what God said to do. And they'll try to protect you and tell you not to do it. So you won't get hurt. Because they don't think you're smart enough, wise enough, or old enough, or young enough, whatever.
Which example would like, say, a young couple that don't have much money.
Yeah.
In wisdom of the world, you think, well, they don't need to tithe because they need that money to take care of their family. They can tithe later when they have
They limit them. That's
they,
the...
It limits them, but if they've got his total...
The world, that's good, Mary.
Just fleshly, your regular knowing. And people would say, well, you don't need to tithe right now. A lot of people would say that. Wait till you got more money, because you need this to take care of this bill. But God was to tell you tithe and you take care of everything.
Yeah, that's right. And it works. When you have vision for something, it comes in seed form. So you're going to have to plant seeds and do things, and it gets greater and greater. But people can't, they don't know this. So... Especially family, they'll tell you, no, that ain't going to work. You don't need to do it. That they'll tell you all about how to do it. And the Holy Ghost already got you started on something. But you have to love God more, and then you have to hear him out. You have to hear him out.
Okay.
When he give you something to do, throughout every time he gave me something to do, he would, I asked questions so that I wouldn't fold, so I would stand. And as I'm endeavoring to do it, he'd confirm it by other people that's anointed and full of the Holy Ghost. They'll say the right thing at the right time. It happened with the radio broadcast. The Lord had been dealing with me about it. Pastor Jackson confirmed it. And then the first Sunday I came here, Pastor McCann confirmed it. And I went on, I started the broadcast the very next week. My first visit here, he confirmed it, and I went on there the very next week and been on there ever since. But people will, you have to hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. He'll speak to confirm things strategically when you need him to, but you have to listen. And sometimes he'll use people you don't expect. He may use somebody that's far younger, far older, more educated, less educated, but it's still him. And you have, and he'll give you that peace you need to go forward. All right.
There's something I want to comment on that was good about hearing him out.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we as Christians hear part of it and get so excited we start acting. Listen, hear him out. Let him
yeah.
tell us.
Yeah. Because everything he ever gave me to do, I worked by assignments. He had me to do assignments. And when I finished that assignment, then he'd give me another. But in order to, he showed me things that I needed to know concerning that assignment. And it made me, it charged me up. I was stoked. I was ready to do it. Just like you stoke a fire, I was on fire for it. And then this is another one. Enjoy his presence. When you're in the bubble of his presence, you're in the shield of faith. Can't nothing get to you. When you're in his presence, carry him. That's what I was praying about years ago. I wanted to carry his presence with me wherever I am. I didn't want there to be a time when I'm not in the Lord's presence. And people said that was impossible, but I didn't believe them. I asked the Lord how to do it. And I started studying his word, and my attention is on his word, so as when in a challenge, I just speak his word and keep going. It works. And then number 6, receive revelation from him. God gives revelation all the time, but it's not always received. Sometimes people don't, they block it. They accept it. It's kind of like, let's say they made a car that you love. You really want this car. And you go look at it and consider it. And then you look at the price. If you really want that car, you're going to buy that car. And you're going to pay more than what they're asking because they're going to charge. Their taxes are fixed to it, the tags, the title, and then the interest if you finance it. So if you really want that car, you're going to buy that car. And the revelation of God is no different. Even doing the word of God, it comes with a cost. The Sermon on the Mount, the Lord, he don't leave anything out. He don't leave the challenges out, the warfare, the way people are going to talk about you, everything. The price tag is in it. But if you really want to do that, I'm going to do this. I'll pay that cost, and I'm going to get this. I'm going to do this. When I made it, when I received the word that way, no matter what happens, I'm going to do this. If I look bad in the eyes of man, this is what I'm going to do. When I took that position, I started learning things that I couldn't learn any other way. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But a healing process starts within, just like a seed in the ground. When you receive any part of God's word, and I use the Sermon on the Mount because that's what the word of God taught when he became a man. And it covers all ground. It'll protect you and bless you in every part of your life. It'll bring any part of your life to the standards of heaven. So, and it works like a seed. At first, you receive it in you, it grows. It gets in your character. It gets in your lifestyle. It becomes a vision to you. And then your life becomes a vision for others. And that's why the enemy tries to shut you down. But if you'll pay that price, it's just like that car. If you'll buy that car, you can drive that car home and pay it off and keep it. Well, you start with the word of God, you can do the same thing. So revelation from God has to be received. Every revelation that he gave me, especially things that help me take back the kingdom, take the kingdom from Satan, it comes with a challenge. But that doesn't matter because the word of God is stronger. So revelation has to be received. And many people block the revelation that they'll need to fulfill the vision. And when they do that, they can't fulfill the vision. And then the last one, he said, contend for the faith. See it through with patience, protecting your dedication. Now, patience is a waiting faith. It's the faith of duration. You believe in God. Things have to happen. It hadn't happened yet. You believe it happened already, because that's how faith is always now. But because of the process, it hadn't happened yet. But it's working. It's just like your consistent love. It's always working. If you're patient, you'll keep on operating in love. If you get impatient and try to rush things, you'll get distracted and you'll stop. So patience is a waiting faith, and it's something we need to keep our faith alive. Protecting your dedication. Because you know, dedication comes and goes if you let it. You can speak to it where it stays with you. Just like you stoke a fire, you can do things to stoke that fire you got so that you can stick with the revelation. Now, this is what Paul did. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Everything he said in these verses, this is how he lived his life. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. It wasn't just something. It wasn't a lottery winning. This is how he did things. It wasn't just something to get him out of a jam. But the gospel is what he preached. It's what he lived. It's what he believed. Mm-hmm. And when he was in jail, he stoked himself. He stirred that fire up. He worshiped God. The anointing. He operated under the anointing. The anointing can do more than we think it can do. It reaches. The Lord gave me a dream. I was living in the projects. It reminded me. He showed me an apartment. It's about like the projects where I used to live, and I was living there. And there was a young girl. And she had a baby with her. She was about 20 years old. And around her was a lot of darkness, drugs, all kind of stuff. Things that you'd see in projects. And I wanted to protect that girl. So in the dream, I loved her like a daughter. And, I wouldn't let people bother her, you know. So I woke up and I asked the Lord, what was that about? He said, your anointing, it reaches deep in the heart of people. So when they hear it on the radio, the Lord puts things in them so that it can protect them. they'll make the decisions of Christ. They'll act on God's word, and their life will be protected, just like I was there physically to, you know, keep people from bothering her. But the anointing can do the same thing. I didn't know that when God gave me that dream, but I believed. I received that revelation, and I believe it, and I know it now. The Lord has that in with the anointing. He can do more than we know, that, you know, that we have knowledge for. But if, see, when he tell you to do something, and you nobody can see your anointing. It's there. It's just like the weapons of our warfare. And then everything is voice. I was telling Alicia, I said, Mary said that the kingdom of God is voice activated. You speak it, it'll be illegal if it don't happen. It can't. It's impossible for you to speak by faith and nothing happens. It's got to happen. When you speak by faith, it's got to happen. And this is how Paul lived. So he did the vision. He, you know, at this point, he may have finished his course, and he said, well, I've done all the things God required. Now I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know if that was the case, but the Lord, it seemed that the Lord showed him what would happen, and he left it up to Paul. But he's, now watch verse 28. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. These are the tares. Tares were always with the church. Even some of the people that believed, they started doing the works of a tare. Not only were the Jews tares, that was the ones that was persecuting the church, but they had inner tares as well. I had to do a series about it. And I'm doing a series called End Times, and about 2 months ago, he had me dealing with the tares. And I learned more about tares during that series. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Some people love the work of the ministry more than they love God. And when that happens, disaster happens, because Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. Verse 31, he said, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every man one night and day with tears. He ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He was focused on the Lord. That's the only way to bring forth God's vision. If the when a following is more important than God, you'll end up like Saul. He listened to the people instead of the Holy Spirit. Opinions don't count. They're not. God does things by his wisdom, by truth, by love. People do things for advantage. And God is totally different. And when we follow him, we do what he does. But from our vantage point, it doesn't always look, it can look any kind of way, but when you're focused on him, you'll stay safe. Amen. Okay, let me do these three verses and I'll wrap it up. We're so
really
close to him.
We got a speaker today, so we don't really need to cut off.
All right.
Can I say one? Because this is to me one of the most strongest verses in the Bible about the deity of Christ.
Yeah.
It's 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood.
Yeah. That's the focus. That's the focus.
It's one of the strongest, you know, God purchased it with his own blood.
When he had spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they wept sore, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. All right. Next week, we'll pick up at chapter 21. The Lord, never take the vision that he gives you lightly. It works. Your vision is somebody's lifeline. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. And I thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. Bless us to do it strong, armored with all the weapons of our warfare. Bless us to go forward and take this kingdom back. Take it to you and help us to do it. Do all this in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.